You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to another edition of Darth Amin's Rule of Two. I am your Sith Lord, Darth Amin. I'm joined, as always, by my apprentice, Darth Cornpuzzle, a.k.a. Anthony Mays. This is the podcast where we talk about all things Star Wars as they are released. We are completing our review of Tales of the Empire, which is the second season of the anthology series that Star Wars has been doing. Little shorts give you a little bit more exposition into the background and the happenings with different characters. Last week, we covered the first three episodes, which was about Morgan Elspeth. This week, we get Barriss Offee and her twisted tale, Maze.
It sure is twisted. It twisted me up a little bit. I wanted more. And this will be the last Rule of Two until The Acolyte drops in June 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we shall return. Until then, we will go into hiding in a tent on a remote planet, perhaps impersonating a local healer.
There you go. Not impersonating. She is a healer. So Barriss Offee, just to give everybody some background, who is Barriss Offee? Barriss Offee is basically Ahsoka's classmate. She's the same cohort as Ahsoka, as a Jedi Padawan. And in season 6 of the Clone Wars, the Jedi Temple gets bombed. And Ahsoka gets blamed for it. She gets charged with it. She gets tried. She gets convicted, in fact, by the Jedi Council. The incident then is revealed that it was Barriss Offee who did it and framed Ahsoka. And so Ahsoka is exonerated, but the whole situation kind of leaves a bad taste in Ahsoka's mouth. And that's why Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Order, because they were ready to throw away everything they knew about her and they're convinced that she did the bombing that was actually framed by her best friend, which is kind of wild too. So you say, well, why did Barriss Offee bomb the Jedi Temple? The reason was she, like Dooku, began to see kind of the corruption in the Jedi Order. This thing that we're supposed to be, we're not. We're not keepers of the peace. We're doing things that are not under the purview of our religion, nor is it in accordance with how we see the Force and the galaxy or whatever. And so she became very disillusioned with this and try to make a statement. She was trying to let us know that the Jedi are corrupt. And by the way, Maze, one of my favorite things about Barriss Offee, she was the first one to throw out the accusation that you guys are under the influence of a Sith Lord. I don't think she knew it was Palpatine, but she knew the dark side was secretly influencing the Jedi Order from behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's kind of a quandary in that storyline, because she's right, but she handles it wrong.
Yes, she handles it completely wrong. And she's right, but the math isn't adding up.
Mm-hmm.
She was right, but she didn't have all the facts.
Yeah.
And if anything, her actions helped the eventual Sith takeover. So Tales of the Empire basically picks up where her story left off, which is they found out it was her. She gets tried. She's convicted. She's sent to prison. And it starts, she's in prison and she looks out her window and sees the Jedi Temple burning, and then asks the guards, who are clones, what's going on. And the clones give the company line of, like, Jedi try to orchestrate a coup. And they tell her, be glad you're not a Jedi. Which, this is the part where Order 66, are they aware of it? Are they not aware of it?
I thought these clone guards were aware. I thought they were probably privy to the orders that were carried out.
I guess self-aware is what I'm going for here. Are they self-aware Also, how does Order 66 programming take that into account? Killer, she's a Jedi. Well, not really. I got kicked out.
Well, nope. Check her record.
Yep.
Not a Jedi anymore.
Not a Jedi.
I did like the symmetry of her waking up from a nightmare and then the temple is on fire and presumably being bombed, which is what she did.
Right.
So it kind of is like she's waking up into her own past.
Yes.
But no, it's Order 66.
She gets a visit from the fourth sister. Basically, she gets a little Johnny B. Good recruiting here. Oh, man. Johnny B. Good / Blue Chips.
Yep.
Coach Pete Bell comes to her cell and tells her why she should go to
Western.
Western, that's right. Be a Dolphin. So, Maze, this is interesting because Order 66 has just happened. And technically, Palpatine already has not one, but two Inquisitors on the roster.
Yep. This was interesting. The timeline, you might say it got effed up because we're not sure exactly how quickly this happened, but it does seem quite prompt. And I mean, I don't know about you. I did not recognize this woman from the Obi-Wan series.
Yes. She was.
Three episodes of the Obi-Wan series. Lynn Rakish is her non-Inquisitor name, which will come up again in this episode. And they have the same skin tone. So I was wondering if they were maybe the same species. But Barriss is Miri Aelin.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynn is characterized as a humanoid.
Yes.
So they're not.
She just has a great tan.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she gets recruited. Turns out you were right after all that the Jedi were murderous and treasonous.
I don't think Lynn ever appeared in Clone Wars as a regular Jedi, right?
No, the appearances were just in the Obi-Wan series. That's when she was introduced.
Got it. So we've got ourselves a pretty cool look at how the Inquisitor program got off the ground. You know, we fly over to the planet that has the Fortress Inquisitoris, but the fortress is still being built, Maze, under construction.
I like this. Look cool. The watery moon of Ner.
Did not know that Ner was a moon of Mustafar. Somehow that escaped me. Like that Mustafar is right there, which would make sense. You know, if Vader wants to do a random Pat Riley-esque check-in at 6 a.m. Like, hey, who's up?
Satellite office right there.
Literally. We get there and we see that there are other recruits.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah. Who's the other guy?
Amar.
By the way, one of these mugs is the they, them. Did you catch that?
I did catch that. I wasn't sure what was going on with that, but
yeah,
their pronouns.
It's Star Wars, though. Like, it's hilarious. But anyways, they go through the training. One of them is kind of like, I don't know about this. The other one is so gung-ho. Oh, he's ready for this shit. Which is, again, funny. Because if anyone should be gung-ho, it should be Barriss. She's in prison, right? But like, these ones are with it. Until he realizes this shit kind of sucks, so he tries to leave. And he gets killed.
There's that scene where the Grand Inquisitor says he has a terrible accident, classic, and then tosses the jewel from his chin on the ground. That was pretty cold-blooded right there.
Yeah, man.
How'd you get that?
It's a dark couple of episodes here.
Grand Inquisitor takes Barriss into the training room with the table full of lightsabers and says, the lessons you learned from the Jedi greatly limit your power, but I will help you overcome this weakness.
He basically dodges, dips, dives, ducks, and dodges. As she attacks him, and he starts talking shit, which is, of course, what the Emperor pretty much did to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Talk shit until you make him break, and she breaks, and she uses the Force to shove the shit out of him against the wall, and he realizes, you're ready now.
He also drops the bar, mercy only breeds defeat.
Nice. The final challenge, one lightsaber.
This is literally the Joker scene.
Yes, yes. Breaking the pool cue.
Break the pool cue, drop it. We're going to have tryouts.
Tryouts, yeah.
I do like the design of this room, though, with the big donut and the bottomless pit in the middle and the shrinking shield wall.
And it gets smaller.
That'd be a cool Mortal Kombat fighting stage or Super Smash Brothers, what have you.
I also love that the fight choreography is, again, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent choreography.
More martial arts, like we talked about.
Long story short, Barriss wins.
But she's reticent at first, whereas Dante, he's ready to go. He's ready to kill her.
Dante's with it, man. Dante's with it.
We get a force choke, which was a great sign of her power, I'm assuming, is that she can master the force choke, because not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
Snaps his neck, falls down the donut hole. Now she made the team, gets her team shoes, her team warm-ups, her helmet, the whole gear.
And we get to see some of the other Inquisitors, including the one, I don't remember his name, but he's the one that Ahsoka basically Mixed Swiss cheese.
He's unnamed.
Oh, he doesn't have a name. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's from the Tales of the Jedi episode, the sixth one.
Yep.
He's got the creepy horse skull mask.
Yep.
And also Marok.
Yes, that's right. From Ahsoka, who's brought back to life using the dark magic of the Night Sisters.
The Smoke Man.
We get them there, and then who shows up but meet your new master, old DV himself, Darth Vader, walks in, and this is the weird thing. Technically, he knows exactly who Barriss is.
Right.
That's the little piece of shit that framed Ahsoka.
I was thinking that. I was wondering if he sensed it or...
Sensed it?
If he was thinking about it at all.
He knows who she is.
Straight up saw her face and knew it.
I guess this shows that he's completely disassociated from Anakin. He's like, well, that was Anakin's Padawan. That wasn't my Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice mental gymnastics there.
Hey guys, it's Mike Fuentes. Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling. So you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. With summer approaching, it always reminds me of those days when you get out of those college classes early on a Thursday and all your friends are looking for something to do. Growing up, my house was the house for everybody. We would all take off to my house around the afternoon. We'd debate what to eat, but there was never a debate on what we wanted to drink. It was always Miller Lights. There wouldn't really be a grill master fight. I let the boys take care of that because I just wanted to relax. I wanted to keep it simple. And speaking of keeping it simple, Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are this close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DAN. That's code DAN for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Episode 5 is called Realization. Episode 4 was called Devoted. We fast forward. Episode 5, Realization. She's on a mission with the Force Sister, hunting for Jedi. But now, hunting for Jedi has become, in Barriss's mind, like, yeah, we're doing the right thing, right? We're getting these traitors up, whatever. But Force Sister is, like, extremely badass in torturing innocent civilians and stuff like that to get information.
Yeah, Barriss is still hanging on to some idealism,
yeah,
which clashes with the Inquisitor's ruthlessness, the Force Sister's ruthlessness. So they go to this market, ask where the Jedi's hiding, and while Force Sister is saying, I'm here to protect you from the Jedi, they can control your mind.
Which is a dope way of using a truth to instill fear in people.
So that's a light side only power.
Yeah, Jedi mind tricks.
Darth Vader can't do that shit.
Nope.
Barriss takes a different approach, approaches the nervous kid cowering in the corner, and you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar, right? It means yeah. Gets the kid to give up that they're hiding in the mountains.
And she says, like, all right, let's go to the mountains. And Fort Sis is like, one moment, please. I thought you said you ain't know nothing about no Jedi.
You gave me your word. People are judged by their actions. Well then, massacre. Massacre is the law.
We go up to the mountains. We're getting more back-to-back conversation about, hey, what are we doing here? Very Vietnam War, like late stage Vietnam War. Not only that, but like the idea, like we're hunting after kids now. This isn't what I signed up for.
Barris says, as inquisitors, we bring order, not chaos. Fourth sister says, rebellion creates chaos. Eliminating it brings order.
Yeah.
Barris says, but creating fear will turn the people against us. And fourth sister says, they were already against us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now those who witness our strength will respect it.
She makes strong points. I gotta say, you're not winning anybody over. These people were already, they made up their mind to not like us. So like, you know, might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well go after
it. Now they're climbing up the mountain as the red sun sets. There's a rock slide, and this knocks Barris back a few paces. So when she gets up to the top, there's already a lightsaber battle happening. Barris blocks the killing blow.
Yep.
And the Jedi calls Barris a traitor and a murderer. Not true. It's not true. It's impossible. Tries to convince him to turn himself in, and he's feeling a little lonely, so he turns his lightsaber off. Poor sister literally stabs him in the back.
Right on time.
She's tough.
And then we get a nice little head-to-head matchup between Poor Sister and Barris. We see the spinning blades, the signature Inquisitor lightsaber, and Barris declares herself a Jedi. So there's one more Jedi left in this thing. And then, Maze, it's very interesting to note that when she fights her, the Jedi only use the Force in self-defense. They don't attack. So if you notice, when she throws her off the cliff, it's only after she gets attacked first and she repels her with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So she plummets to what we assume is her death, but isn't, because again, spinning lightsaber works like a helicopter.
And she's an Obi-Wan, so she can't be dead.
Yeah. So we go to episode 6. And now we're far into the future. I don't know how far.
She's an adult, though.
She's an adult. She's working undercover as a purveyor of health cures or whatever.
Yep.
Mr. Miyagi spit in the hands, you know, rub your hands together, all that shit.
The episode did start with a little critter chittering, though, I mean.
Yes, there was some chittering. Not excited, though.
And a badger-like Mosinian. I don't know what this creature is that guides this family and their baby to Barris through a blizzard. And yes, it's Barris. She's the healer. We learn that this baby, the Empire came down and took blood samples. So
yeah,
once again, the M count thing from Bad Batch. It's probably that program at work.
But also, it just goes to show in a very short amount of time how stuff that was kind of like commonplace is all erased. These people don't even know what Empire will want us. And like, what is this? What does this mean? And it's already a whisper. People don't even remember the Jedi or know what they did or know what made them special or whatever. Because I would think that if I had a kid that was Force sensitive and then some person like figured it out, you just looked and you knew, like, are you Force sensitive? Are you a Jedi or whatever? But that's not the deal. And of course, who should come looking for the child but the one and only Force sister?
I do like when the parents hear Barris's explanation and say, so our kid's a Jedi?
Yeah, yeah.
And Barris says, no, you gotta pump your brakes, all right?
Yeah.
Need 4 years of college, need to run my offense, get comfortable, then maybe you can go to the draft, all right?
But also, she's like, I don't do that shit, but I do know someone I can send you to. I have to assume this is Ahsoka.
Same thought, too. It has to be. It's weird that it's not really followed up on or explained or whatever, but that's the only person it could be, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't have any other connections.
An old friend? What other friend she's got?
She killed Dante. It's not Dante.
Yeah, there you go.
So Force Sister shows up. Of course it's you. How ironic that when I am not seeking you, I find you at last. Like your car keys when you lose them in the house. You finally give up looking for them. That's what they appear.
She sends the parents and the baby into these caves to basically escape. And then tells Force Sister, you can't go in there. You don't want any parts of this. And the Force Sister says, I kind of feel like I want to try this.
You don't want no part of that, Lynn.
Yeah.
Keeps calling her Lynn, which pisses her off.
So eventually she rushes in and gets lost in there because apparently the dark side of the Force, I don't know.
This one was a little weird.
All right, haven't we already established that so many pieces of canon, like Force-sensitive people are like really good navigators? Like their GPS is on point.
It's an ice cave, so I guess it's like Hall of Mirrors. I'm really not sure.
Sure.
She tells Barriss that Fear is her ally, and Barriss says, "You chose your allies poorly."
Yeah, that's a badass line right there.
The Mosinian and everybody make it to the ship. They fly away. Four sisters all mad. Barriss's voice is on the PA system in the cave.
Yeah.
Tells Four Sister to lay down her weapon, and Four Sister says, "Do you know what they'll do to me for my failure?"
Which is the first time we get a crack.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey, man, I'm scared here. I'm not like just some badass. I'm gonna do whatever. Like, don't tell me what to do." It's like, yo, man.
It's when you find out that a bully gets beat by his dad. It's tough. Because Barriss says, "It seems Fear is not your ally, but your master."
Oh, got her ass. I thought that was a little mean. That was a little mean from Barriss. He didn't hit the hammer that hard.
It's not as mean as getting accidentally stabbed in the chest.
Which is funny because, like, she finds her when she's not looking for her. She kills her when she didn't want to kill her.
This made me go, "Oh, come on." I'm at home watching. Can't believe it. This is how this is going to wind up. So now she's collapsed. Four Sisters holding her. Barriss says, "I forgive you," and calls her Lynn again.
Yeah.
All you have to do is accept that you know the way out. There is no way out, is there? That's what the Empire wants you to think. Huh?
Message!
And then the chittering creature is back to watch them walk out of the cave.
Yeah.
Once again, the third episode was the weirdest one.
Yeah.
I liked the first one. Second one was good, too. And then the third one just didn't really feel conclusive.
I would rather the reconciliation with Ahsoka.
Right. Yeah. Like, why can't she just take the baby to Ahsoka and they have a chat?
Well, at this point, I have to assume they've already met and they've already squashed the beef.
Or just seeing that scene, yeah.
That's Tales of the Empire. I liked it. I enjoyed it very much. I want them to do a lot more.
Yeah.
I think it should be like 15 episode runs with 3, 3, 3, 3, like per character.
I'm into that too. I mean, I could use another Barriss episode, certainly.
Take it or leave it, right? There's just so many people. You know what I would love? I'd love a Jar Jar Binks one. In the books, apparently he gets really, really, really down. Like, this whole shit was my fault. So he becomes a homeless street clown.
An unhoused gentleman?
An unhoused gentleman, yep.
Jar Jar Binks?
Yep. Entertaining children.
Wow.
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen. Yes, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Clown Jar Jar Binks busking on the streets of Naboo.
There it is.
His guitar case out.
That's going to do it for this episode of Rule of Two. As May said earlier, we will be back the week of June 4th, I guess.
Tuesday, June 4th.
Well, we will be back the Friday of that week to review episode one of The Acolyte.
Two episodes.
No, the first two episodes of The Acolyte. There you go. Until then, remember, fear is not your ally. It's your master, bitch. Oh.
Hey guys, it's Mike Fuentes. Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or just celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling. So you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. With summer approaching, it always reminds me of those days when you get out of those college classes early on a Thursday and all your friends are looking for something to do. Growing up, my house was the house for everybody. We would all take off to my house around the afternoon. We'd debate what to eat, but there was never a debate on what we wanted to drink. It was always Miller Lights. There wouldn't really be a grill master fight. I let the boys take care of that because I just wanted to relax. I wanted to keep it simple. And speaking of keeping it simple, Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Tastes as great as your barbecue. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.